Okay, what's the number one reason you should try Instacart? Shopping over 1.5 million unique products from over 1,000 retailers and get everything delivered right to your door in as fast as 1 hour, all in one app. So you can spend more time with the ones who matter most. Visit instacart.com to get free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I wanna see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 40% on selected products. Plus, doorbusters for their Earth Day sale. 40% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, these NBA playoffs are taking on a decidedly ejectable tone. Why is everyone getting ejected? Players not getting ejected are supposed to be getting ejected. My goodness. Chippy, raucous, rowdy, edgy, intense, ejectable. We've got more men behaving badly that we can talk about. Although I got to say, as much as I dislike James Harden, and I don't love his game, nor do I love how he represents himself as a human being in the league. I don't know him personally, but I don't love the way he handles his business. That was not a flagrant two. I don't even think it was a flagrant one. To me, it looked more like incidental contact. But James Harden ejected for a flagrant two, while his teammate Joel Embiid takes a groin shot, as in kicks Nick Claxton directly into the little nets and somehow does not get ejected. And Draymond Green misses a game for stepping on a guy, stepping Harden on a guy. Man, what the heck is happening right now in the NBA? What are you all of a sudden trying to turn this into football? I thought we determined that these last 15 years or so, basketball is no longer a contact sport. The playoffs are spicy. And that goes for the Stanley Cup playoffs as well. Oi, do I have a story for you? I actually missed the puck drop between the New Jersey Devils and the New York Rangers. I hate missing the puck drop. I hate missing the national anthem, but I didn't make it for that either. Oh, it was so stressful. This is why I usually drive everywhere. It's just wrong. Of all the nights, I just saw it again. Groin shot. I mean, it wasn't quite a cue shot, but it was a groin shot to be sure. I don't get it. How does Joel Embiid not get ejected for that? But Draymond Green gets ejected for stepping on a guy, trying to pull his foot free from someone else who's holding on to his ankle. Wowzers. It's all about reputation, I'm telling you. Rep and rap sheet. That's what got Draymond suspended. Didn't seem to be much of a problem for the Warriors on this night. So we're going to talk about the playoff games, the trio in the NBA, and the four in the NHL, including the one that I saw in person. Man, momentum is fleeting in sports. Certainly in the playoffs. We've got a lot from voluntary OTAs in football. Just when you thought the 49ers had settled their quarterback situation, or at least were down to two candidates. Oh no, think again. And in Major League Baseball, Max Scherzer may have pled his case. He may have passionately pled his case. The powers that be not having it. Out for 10 games for too much clumpy sweat and rosin and stickiness that caused the umpire's fingers to stick together. What a weird and wacky and wonderful week in sports. Thanks for hanging out with us. Happy almost Friday. Boom. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, I did share a photo. It's actually really neat. From the press box at the Prudential Center in Newark, New Jersey, which is where the Devils were hosting the Rangers in game number 2. It is pretty. I love all the superimposed tech, the lights, the graphics that are projected onto the ice. It's really cool. I hadn't been to a Stanley Cup playoff game in quite a while, maybe 4 years, four-ish years. So this was fun. Amazing atmosphere to start. So there is a photo. I'll see if I can put it out there on, or if I can get producer Jay to help me to put it on Facebook as well. So either on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Phone number 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to James Harden, Joel Embiid, the Sixers extending their lead against the Brooklyn Nets, despite the fact that the Nets outscored them by 17 in the third quarter. Wasn't quite enough. But we knew this would be a challenge for the Golden State Warriors without their best defender, the center cog in their wheel, their heart, their soul. Well, yeah, but they got this guy named Steph Curry.
Moody to DiVincenzo. The trailer's Curry. A deep three in front of the logo. Got it! Curry! 79-63, it's their largest lead. Curry with the dribble on Murray. 9 to shoot. Curry down the lane. The runner is up and good, and he got fouled! Underhand scoop. Len crashed into him. And Golden State leads by 17. Pass to the wing to Kuminga. Hands it back to Steph. Steph, a deep three. Good! From the far hash mark. Curry with the ball. Finds Thompson right corner. Just fires away and hits a three. He wasn't even completely square to the bucket, Tom. Dante to Thompson. Takes a two. It's up and good on the right side. A 15-footer. It's 105-83 Warriors here in game 3.
The crowd was pretty intense there at the Chase Center, recognizing how important it was for the Warriors to protect their home court in game 3 against the Sacramento Kings. Now, at the beginning, there were a lot of Kings fans making noise too. But as the Warriors got out there, started to settle in, as Kevon Looney and the other Warriors really crashed the glass, I mean hard, and they limited the turnovers, limited the mistakes. What do we know about the Warriors? Sometimes they play fast and loose with the basketball. They did not. In this game, they took care of the basketball. The pumpkin, as Kyrie Irving likes to call it. They took care of the pumpkin. They were not smashing pumpkins. They were protecting pumpkins. I'm not sure the last time I saw this, but this is accurate. The Warriors only allowed 7 points off their turnovers. So they had a dozen, and they only allowed 7 points. Not only does that indicate they're taking better care of the basketball, but it also indicates that they're getting back on defense when they do make a mistake and cough up the pumpkin. They actually had fewer fast break points than the Kings, which is interesting, but more points in the paint, more points off turnovers, and more triples. I can't believe these numbers, though. This is one of the things I dislike about the NBA today. Jay, take a wild guess how many three-point attempts went up between these two teams.
Between the two teams combined?
Between the two teams.
I'm going to guess 82.
97.
Wow.
97 three-point attempts.
Wow. And I thought I was going a little high.
Oh, my gosh. 97 three-point attempts. That's ridiculous.
That's like not even.
What is it? Is it there? Is there some kind of an invisible force field that they can't get inside the 3-point arc? 97 3-point attempts. I love watching the Warriors play basketball, but that's what? They shoot 16 of 50 from beyond the arc. The Kings were worse. 11 of 47. Oh my gosh.
Maybe try a layup.
That's a lot of bricks. Oh my gosh. I knew it was a lot, but just now looking at the number. So no wonder there were so many rebounds available. Steph Curry finishes with 6 from beyond the arc. He goes 12 for 25, so he shoots just under 50%. And, of course, provides such a great supercharged kind of. Well, he supercharges not only the fans when they're home, because everyone gets fired up when Steph goes off. But he also puts that energy and electricity into the offense, right? Because you get the ball in Steph's hands. If he's not driving down the hoop with some kind of a goofy shot, finger roll, some high arcing rainbow that drops through the hoop.
Curry!
Well, then he's drawing the defense and dishing. Saw a lot of great ball movement tonight. All hands on deck. And they knew that without Draymond Green, it was going to have to be that way.
There's a lot of distractions and noise around the series. Obviously, you know, losing both games up there was a tough way to start. And you wanted to come home with some good, you know, focus. And then you get that call that he's just suspended. And it's a tough blow. But yesterday at practice, we had really good energy understanding what the mission was, to understand we couldn't change anything about the decision that we knew was wrong. But that if we could come out and win tonight, it changes the momentum of the series, and it gives us an opportunity to just make it about basketball. And that was Draymond's message the whole time, was, you know, make the right adjustments, come with the right energy, protect our home court. When he gets back on Sunday, we got to capitalize off of that and try to win and even up the series. So we did what we're supposed to do. They say, you know, Draymond's got a history. So do we. So we know how to bounce back.
I saw the look on his face in huddles, and, you know, he was breathing. He was kind of meditating during timeouts. I could see how locked in he was, and it was terrific tonight.
Steve Kerr there talking about his superstar, Steph Curry. He had that look in his eyes. He was locked in. But did you hear what Steph said at the end of his comments to the NBA on TNT? They say that Draymond has history. Okay, well, they includes me. Yes, they definitely do say that, because he does. Maybe Steph is referring to the NBA. Remember, because the NBA statement indicated that this suspension is partly based on his history of unsportsmanlike acts. So whoever they is, whoever Steph Curry's referring to, oh, I love that. They say Dre has a history. Well, so do we. Ooh, that's also spicy and salty.
We did what we're supposed to do. They say, you know, Draymond's got a history. So do we. So we know how to bounce back.
Nice. Boom, baby. In your face. That was Steph Curry doing the verbal shimmy on the NBA on TNT. He goes 36 points strong. Andrew Wiggins. Remember how critical Wiggins was last year to their run to another NBA title? They do not win that series. Well, they don't beat the Celtics without Wiggins, but they definitely don't win the West without Wiggins. He goes over 20 tonight. And as Steve Kerr talked about after the game, rebounds were critical. Guess who had 20 rebounds? Kevon Looney. I'm not sure if you guys saw this on TNT, but there was one report from the sideline reporter that Looney actually keeps track of his stats, and he knew he was getting close to 20. So when one of the late check-ins that he does to get back on the court, he asked the guy at the scorer's table, how many rebounds am I? And I think he said something, I can't remember exactly what the reporter said, but something along the lines of, he heard Looney mention I need three more for 20, which is, by the way, his career high. So Looney not only crashes the board hard, and there were a bunch of offensive rebounds in there too that I saw. He not only makes sure that the Kings have fewer extra possessions, but in addition, he kind of fills that role of Draymond with 9 assists. So that's huge. The idea with the Warriors offense is plug and play, plug and go. They need to be so well-versed in how they move the basketball that one guy can step in for another. And you know how Steve Kerr has done this. It's a little different this year, but in the past, what we've seen with him is he'll go 10 deep and he'll rely on 5 players off the bench. Maybe not en masse, like a hockey line change, but Dante DiVincenzo gets a ton of minutes off the bench, nearly 30. Tonight, they also relied on Jamichael Green to fill in some of Draymond's minutes. We know about Jonathan Kuminga. He's been a solid role player. And someone else off the bench, too, that we don't see a lot of is Moses Moody. He had some critical buckets late in this game. But, yeah, this was Chuck and Duck. 97 threes between the two teams. And Steve says it's the rebounding and the lack of turnovers that were the major differences. So Kevon Looney, right in the center of it in game number 3.
Humbly speaking, I've always been a winner, like throughout since I was a kid playing. My team was the Magic. We won the Pennant Boys and Girls Club Championship. So I've always been in winning situations, playing with a lot to lose. Must-win situations, must-win games, had a lot of practice at it. Not going to act like I got the ultimate poise or anything or any of that, but I mean, I like the moment, I like the situation. High-intensity basketball, everybody, every possession means a lot. That's how I've always played.
Humbly speaking, I've always been a winner. I kind of like that. I might steal that from Kevon.
Humbly speaking.
I've always been a winner. Humbly speaking. Hey. If you got it, you might as well flaunt it, Kevon Looney. I don't even think you need to be super humble about it. It's just merely pointing out a fact.
Humbly speaking, I've always been a winner.
All right, we're keeping that. We're so keeping that. That might be, for this first week of the playoffs, right up with I don't care, right up there with I don't care, he's old. I laughed about that all day Thursday.
I don't care, he's old.
I saw people on the train and thought, I don't care, he's old. It's terrible. It's a terrible disease that I have now.
I don't care, he's old.
I'm sure people are going to say that about me. Whatevs. I don't care, she's old.
I don't care, he's old.
Happy almost Friday. Okay, so Kings see their lead cut in half. The Warriors rise again, even without Draymond. He'll be back in game number 4. Not so for the Brooklyn Nets, despite the fact that they come back and take the lead in the second half. And even though James Harden is booted, they are unable to take a game off the Sixers. So we'll see if that turns into a sweep. Not a great game for Joel Embiid. I kind of think he deserves that after he didn't get ejected in the first quarter. Although, here's my theory. Actually, you know what? I'm going to save my theory. My theory about men standing over other men and posturing on a basketball court or any other playing surface for that matter. Of course, I'm not a guy, so it's just my theory from the outside, if you will. We are just getting started. New photo up on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and we'll throw it up on Facebook as well. I love this time of the year. April, second busiest month of the sports calendar. Hot and heavy with the hoops and hockey playoffs. Gosh, 7-8 games per day. Well, why not? Let's just go all in, shall we? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the...
I'm JR of the JR Sport Brief Show on CBS Sports Radio. I'm also the host of the new podcast, Agents of Inclusion. We talk to a different Special Olympics athlete every week to learn how sports can bring us together.
We're bringing both the disability and non-disability communities
to one community, all one people, one family.
Took me a little while, but I decided to claim autism as my superpower. When you hear the word autism, don't let that hinder you from doing whatever it is that you want to do.
That's what Special Olympics tells you. You get involved in sport, but then you take it from the playing field out into real life.
Family means to me community, acceptance, love, embracing a person just as they are. That's what Special Olympics did for me.
It's all about family. Subscribe to Agents of Inclusion on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The After Hours Podcast.
Paul inbounding near side as he gets it from Bill Kennedy and fires to Booker. Crosses over on Gordon, goes to the rim. Layup goes again. Devin Booker, give him 42 on the night to lead all scores. Suns back up 10, 113-103 as we hit the five-minute mark here in the fourth. Powell on the drive, takes Booker to the rim. He blocks him at the rim, and it's taken by Durant. Here come the Suns in transition. KD all the way, lays it up and in.
What a play by Devin Booker. Blocking him at the rim leads to a run out for the Suns.
Durant crosses over on Gordon, swings to Craig for three. He got it from the left corner. TC lines it up and knocks it down. None bigger than that one. Booker drives past man through the lane, hangs in the air, puts it off the window and in. Count that, baby, and the foul. The big time deucing damage for D-Book with 42 seconds left. He's got 44 and counting, and the Suns are up eight.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
No Kawhi Leonard and not enough firepower for the Los Angeles Clippers. And how about this? A little bit too much Devin Booker. Oh my gosh, and so many free throws. All right, raise your hand if you watch Clippers and Suns. It was on NBA TV, so maybe there are some of you that didn't see it. The call's there with John Bloom on Suns Radio. Another very healthy dose of Devin Booker. 45 points for Devin. He goes 18 of 29 from the floor and actually only took 7 three-point attempts. So that's my kind of game right there, Devin Booker. And in the third quarter alone, the Suns are able to put 40 on the board. Now, in the fourth quarter, their defense not so good. They actually allowed the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard to score 39. So the Clippers pulled within a handful of points in the fourth. But ultimately, every player in the Suns starting lineup in double figures. And as I say, Booker with 45. KD, he has 28. He goes perfect from the free throw line. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to get to the Harden and Embiid shenanigans. One gets ejected, one does not. Ultimately, they still come out with a win. That's following the update at the bottom of the hour. But the Suns take a 2-1 lead on the Clippers. Let's start with the news that we found out earlier in the day, which is that there would be no Kawhi Leonard. So this is a huge blow because the Clippers are already without Paul George. So now you're talking about both of their star players, both of their all-star scorers being unavailable even as they return home in the series.
We've been here before, you know, as crazy it may sound, you know, we have a great roster and a deep team. And so other guys get an opportunity to step up and play well. And I thought all our guys did that tonight, you know. And so you hate to see PG and Kawhi go down, but, you know, we got to control what we can control. You know, that's all we can do.
Russell Westbrook had 30 in this game. I'm telling you, this is the series. Russell rides again. But Norm Powell, 42 points in this game. It is an indication and a great reminder that in the NBA, every guy can go off at any point. I mean, they're all that good. And certainly they don't all have the opportunity. But Norm Powell just scored 40 points. A career playoff high. Duh. The fact that he took 22 shots, that alone is pretty intense. But yeah, this was Devin Booker versus Norm Powell. No, it's just seriously, every single one of these guys in the league, even if they don't see a lot of time, can, in fact, get hot. And so it was Norm and it was Russell Westbrook that kept the Clippers in it, kept the Clippers hanging around. But ultimately, as they say, just not quite enough firepower and not enough defense either, especially without Kawhi. But we know that was an issue in game number two. Their defense was routinely just giving up easy layups, and Booker was able to get to the hoop. As for Devin Booker, he is on some kind of a tear right now, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Just win at all costs. You know, that's our motto. We don't want to give any games away. You know, even though they were undermanned today, you know, we know those guys are still going to bring it. So, you know, we had to come with the hit first mindset, and, you know, we just weathered the storm throughout the whole game.
Great performance, you know, in the playoffs like that on a roll, game three, 45, with that efficiency, like, you know, it's almost, I expect stuff like this from him at this point in his career. But he set the tone, you know, getting to the rim, making plays for others, just controlling the whole game. And we're going to need him to continue to do that going forward.
Kevin Durant, big fan of Devin Booker. In fact, it's a mutual admiration society. Think that the Phoenix Suns were at least partially helped by the fact that they had, are you ready for this? Marco Belletti's here in studio. This, I'm not sure which number is more excruciating, but I'm going to lay them both out for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The Suns shoot 46 free throws. That's not combined. That's not Suns and Clippers. That is 46 free throws for one team. Now, throw in the 25 that the Clippers had, and it certainly stands to reason that the Clippers would have fewer because without Kawhi Leonard, they're not quite as aggressive, right? They don't have the same ability to get to the hoop. But 46 and 25 together is 71 free throws. But 46 for one team, that's unwatchable almost, in my opinion. So what's worse? Well, okay, I won't say worse. What's more excruciating? 46 free throws for one team, or are you ready for this? I'm not sure if you saw or inspected the box score for the Warriors and the Kings. 97 three-pointers.
Yeah.
97?
That one I saw.
OMG. Well, and Warriors I don't even 50, say right? that. Yeah, the Warriors take 50. They only make 16.
Right.
I love the Warriors brand of basketball, but that is ridiculous.
Welcome to 2023. I mean, it's
How
really
about take a
it's
layup, for God's sakes?
Nope. Analytics.
This is without James Harden. I mean, when James Harden's out there, it's worse, but oh my gosh.
I mean, that's the analytics. They want to take the three. They feel like that's the better shot. They're going to take the threes. I get it to a point.
97.
Probably excessive. Probably excessive.
Probably excessive. Yes.
I think I'd rather watch that, though. At least you're getting up and down the floor as opposed to the whistle and constant.
You're only going up and down between the three-point arcs.
At least it's moving. The foul calls bogs everything down and just slows the game down to a grinding halt.
So you'd That's rather have them run 10 seconds, jack up a brick. Turn around, run 10 seconds the other direction, jack up a brick.
Yes.
Not even 10 seconds. We're talking about five.
We're talking about two bad brands of basketball. Yes. I'd rather at least have a flow, a rhythm. Maybe they'll knock down some of those shots. When you get too many foul calls, as much as you want to reward teams for being physical and getting and pushing it to the rim, it's excessive when you're blowing the whistle every 2 seconds and you're constantly at the free throw line. So it just bogs the game down and winds up becoming where it's a slugfest. I mean, do we really want to go back to like late 90s basketball where you get a final score of 82 to 77?
Yes.
No, we don't.
I loved late 80s, early 90s basketball. So when I cut my teeth,
that was different. Late 80s, early 90s was a little bit different. I mean, you still had some of the, you know, the remnants of the Lakers and the up and down with the Celtics. The Pistons were obviously what they were and the Bad Boys, and that kind of started it. I'm talking about the ugly Knicks Heat, which I loved being a Knicks fan, where the final scores would really be 74-68.
And two players still standing.
It was brutal. I mean, somebody knocked down a shot and you were like, all okay. right. Like, that's, can't go back to that.
27 made three-pointers among 97 taken. No, seriously. They missed 70 three-pointers in this game. 70 missed three-pointers.
Yeah. See, it's not the amount of shots. It's the misses. That's the problem.
But 70.
If you're going to take that many, you're going to miss some. You can't miss that
some.
Many. You need to be a little bit more efficient.
It looks like dodo birds tonight.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And they still scored how many points? Right.
114.
Which is wild.
I'd rather talk about groin shots than 70 missed three-pointers. And I love the Warriors brand of basketball.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just saying. You stand over a man. I mean, you just be very careful what body part comes flying up at you. Stop posturing. Why are you standing over Joel Embiid? It reminds me of LeBron James standing over Draymond Green in the NBA Finals. And
you know what?
16, 17.
I'm not a big proponent. I'm not a big fan. But I do feel like it's a double standard. How many times have I seen the Allen Iverson step over Ty Lue? It's now in commercials. We have glorified this to the point where it's like, it's
Are
the coolest
yelling?
Thing ever.
Stop yelling at me.
I'm not yelling at you. It's the coolest thing ever. And then when guys do it on the floor and then you go, oh, well, that's disrespectful. What the hell do you think it was when Iverson
well,
did it?
You're just talking,
we ain't talking about the game.
You're the one who's talking about how the game has changed, for sure.
That is now something that's looked back on, and it's revered when Iverson did that.
Maybe
is it
that's
not?
Why current players are
that's
doing it.
That's why guys do it. So you can't have that and then turn around and get upset when somebody does it to you. You like it when you do it to someone else. You don't like it when it gets done to you. That's fine. However, you can't kick a guy in the groin. It just doesn't work.
All right. I'm just saying it's the body part that's hanging down there when
you can't kick someone, okay?
When you're standing over him.
He should have been tossed. You can't kick people.
I can't believe he wasn't. I can't believe that Draymond Green was and Joel Embiid was not. I mean,
a little bit different, but I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that it was Draymond Green.
Yes.
He got tossed. He got
that's
suspended
what I've been saying all
week. It was kind of a, you know, it's all the things that Draymond Green did.
So then maybe the James Harden was a makeup.
I think it was.
I don't believe in those generally, but my goodness.
I think it was, and it also had it made no sense because Harden shouldn't have been tossed either.
No. I don't think he should have had a flagrant foul at all. I didn't think
I probably wouldn't have. I would
have
called that away. I mean, it was kind of, but I think it was more of just to try to get a guy
to make
off
some space.
And it's a foul. It's an offensive foul. I would have left it as an offensive foul. That's not a flagrant two. But I'm sorry, when you kick someone on purpose, you're gone. That's just how it works. It's the same thing as throwing it. You throw a punch and you land it.
You should be.
You're ejected,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
So you kick someone, it's okay? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Marco's yelling at me. It's okay. I can take it. We're friends. It's all right.
It's not at
I'm
you.
Teflon. Is that the one where it's like bounces off me and sticks to you?
Yes.
Okay. Wait till you hear. So next hour, wait till you hear my story about what happened, how I was waylaid on the way to the Devils Rangers game and missed not just the anthem, which is my favorite part, but the puck drop. I never miss a puck drop. I miss the puck drop. You're not going to believe it. I'm telling you, this was it. Of course.
So there's a story with this.
So I'm not going to.
So I'm not going to ask questions. Okay.
No, it's not just me getting stuck in traffic. I wasn't driving.
Okay.
It's just, yeah.
I was going to ask questions, but I wanted to make sure if it was
just wait.
If it's a tease, I can't ask questions.
Just wait. Also, you're not going to believe where Bob was tonight. You know my friend Bob?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Okay, so wait till I tell you where Bob was tonight. So can you come in a little early next hour because we got things to talk about?
I can do this.
We've got to catch up.
I can do this.
Okay.
I can do this.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Marco Belletti and producer Jay, who's behind the double pane glass making faces.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
On the shot clock, James Harden dribbling with the right hand, bangs into O'Neal, offensive foul. Harden with his second foul, and the 76ers now with 8 third quarter turnovers. O'Neal is down, he's on all fours. Harden dribbled and pushed off, and that's what the foul was. And now Tony Brothers coming to the table, and it appears as they're going to review this play. Doc Rivers had the ball, Ben Taylor coming over to get it. And again, Tony Brothers donning the headset, and they're going to see if this goes beyond a common foul on Harden. And the referees reviewing this, looking at the monitor out at center court.
Penalty two, Harden is ejected.
Oh my God, he's not just got a flagrant one. James Harden, it's a penalty two, and he's ejected. A flagrant foul, penalty two, and James Harden on his return here to Brooklyn has been ejected from the game. And they're waving the rally towels like, good night, goodbye, see ya, to the Sixers star guard James Harden. Oh, man.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Now, this happened in the third quarter. This happened in the third quarter. This And I don't believe in makeup calls generally. I think that's ridiculous. Once a missed call happens, there's really no way to make up for it anyway because the situation will never be the same. But after Joel Embiid is not ejected earlier in the game, in the first quarter, for kicking Nick Claxton in the groin area. He kicked, I don't think it was a direct shot to the little nets, but he did kick him in the groin area after Claxton is standing over him. Again, I don't love that. I'm not a huge fan. You should be careful what you dangle over top of a guy because in this type of intensity, when guys are edgy, when they're liable to take it personally, I don't think you want to be standing over someone
where, the little thunders,
where their legs are free. That seems to me like a really bad idea. But I was pretty surprised that he was not given a flagrant two, since we just saw Draymond Green get a flagrant two for stepping on a guy. So using same thing, leg, body parts, stepping on a guy's chest. So I said to you before about that whole Draymond DeMontis Sabonis incident, I didn't actually think that the punishment, the discipline was levied fairly. I felt like Sabonis and Draymond both should have flagrant ones for unnecessary, right? Neither one of those things was a basketball move. But Draymond's reputation precedes him. So he gets a flagrant two and he gets ejected and also gets a one-game suspension. Now Joel Embiid kicks a guy in the private parts and that are dangling over top of him, and he doesn't get a flagrant two, maybe because his reputation does not precede him. But back to James Harden. So is James Harden about to get suspended for a game after a flagrant two? I'm going to say probably not, only because he doesn't have the same rep. But I don't understand how Harden, who's actually executing a basketball move, come on, anybody who has ever played basketball or any sport knows that sometimes there is contact to sensitive areas. I'm a chick. We're not so much worried about the groin areas, but the number of times that I got popped in the chest when I played, it wasn't on purpose. It just happens. Your body parts get hit. The number of times I got accidentally hit in the head or elbowed in the chest, knocked in the stomach, cracked in the butt. I mean, it just happens. So I don't think that every single time a basketball move is executed that does in fact result in contact to a groin area or below the belt is on purpose. And to me, this was James Harden executing a basketball move. Now, did he do it with some force? Potentially to get his defender off him? To create space? Maybe. But still, a flagrant two? That's... I don't even know how to process that. That's ridiculous. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. James Harden didn't agree either.
I didn't hit him in a private area. Somebody's draped on you like that defensively. It's just a natural basketball reaction. And I didn't hit him enough, hard enough for him to fall down like that. But for a flagrant two, it's unacceptable. Like, this is a playoff game. You've seen around the league things that are much more worse than what that play was.
Oh, Draymond.
Honestly, I don't even think it was a foul on me. But, that's unacceptable. That can't happen, bro.
Did you get an explanation at all?
An explanation. But that's unacceptable.
Did you even think it was a possibility when they went?
No, I didn't even think it was a foul on me. You know what I mean? Somebody draped on me. Natural reaction is just use your off arm to get him off a little bit, and that was it. You know what I mean? It wasn't like no wind up, elbow, none of that. I didn't hit him in the private area, none of that. So that can't happen. It can't happen.
Now, according to Monty McCutcheon, who is the NBA Senior VP of Referee Development and Training, he actually did an interview on TNT. And said the officials determined this move that Harden made to create space was excessive and unnecessary. Excessive and unnecessary contact to the groin. How could it be excessive? Now, maybe it was unnecessary just because he maybe could have stepped back or found another way to turn. But excessive. To me, it looked like a basketball move. And I'll be the first one to say to you, I am not a defender of James Harden in any way, shape, or form. I am James Harden's biggest detractor, actually. And I think I wear that like a badge of honor. I don't love the way he handles his business, but this was ridiculous. I agree with him on that point. And he kept saying unacceptable, unacceptable, unacceptable in the locker room after the game. Now, the crew chief is Tony Brothers. And he said to the pool reporter, based on the point of contact directly to the groin, it rose to the level of excessive and ejection. Well, thank heavens that Draymond Green didn't step on Sabonis's, you know, because he'd never play basketball again. If James Harden's move was excessive and unnecessary, Draymond would have been banned from the NBA. Yeah, I'm actually stunned by that. So let's hear from Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid on that moment in the first quarter. Well, Joel Embiid was in the first quarter. He continued to play. Third quarter for Harden.
I didn't think he didn't wear anything, but they called him. And, you know, listen, I told our guys, you could see it early on. There's a lot of extracurricular activity going on our way. But you're up 2-0. You know, what do you expect?
I don't think it was deserved, but, you know, that made the decision. You know, we just focus on, you know, the win. We got the win, and, you know, we move on.
Yeah, I'm still puzzled by that. We'll see whether or not the NBA weighs in. Now, here's the thing. The league, after conducting a review, could rescind the flagrant two. I don't even know how it's a flagrant one, but could rescind the flagrant two and could say, okay, that was the wrong call, or it wasn't applied. The standard wasn't applied correctly. And so it could be wiped from James Harden's record. I would be blown away if the NBA takes it further and adds a suspension. Now, will it derail the Sixers? No, they're up 3-0. They actually, I mean, they may not be known for having extra scorers or guys who can step up, but the way Tyrese Maxey has played, and I love Tobias Harris too, they've got four guys who can legit score. So we'll see if the NBA weighs in, but to me, this is a mess. And what, three different guys, three different superstars in a tangle. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.